Greetings there, friends. Welcome to episode 11 of How to Get Away with Law, an unofficial podcast for the hit TV show How to Get Away with Murder. And to start, we'll go ahead with a recap from ABC.com. The episode is titled Best Christmas Ever. It's Christmas Day. Annalise downs some mini bar booze in a Philly hotel room. She ignores phone calls from Nate. She nourishes herself with chocolate bars. She passes out on the floor. This routine repeats itself every day through New Year's. Annalise finally returns home after her trip to confront her sister-in-law, Hannah. She presents her with a box of evidence to show that Sam is not the man they thought he was. The second semester of Annalise's How to Get Away with Murder course begins. Hard to believe, but this one is reportedly going to be harder than the first. After class, a client, Jackie, claims that her husband is holding two women captive in their basement. One of the prisoners is pregnant and about to give birth. Annalise takes the case even though some of her students question how they can help in accessory to this heinous crime. Every word their client speaks is recorded. The police storm the House of Horrors. The man is arrested and the two young women are freed. A judge won't agree to a plea deal for Annalise's client until she hears from the victims. They testify that Jackie drugged them before they were abused as a way of deflecting the pain they were about to endure. It was so they wouldn't have the memories of rape. After analyzing the recording of Jackie's story, Wes helps Annalise realize that one of the women has a little girl out there. It's not Jackie's, but she wants to raise her as if she is. She won't give up the location of the child until she gets a plea deal. The little girl is 4 and hidden away alone somewhere. Annalise tells Jackie she has the deal and gets the location of the little girl. She's alive and safe in police custody. Annalise later admits that she lied to Jackie. She tells her there was never a plea deal just before resigning as her lawyer. Jumping back to Christmas Day, Rebecca opens a card that came for Rudy, the guy who lived in Wes's apartment before him. It's from his grandmother, who doesn't realize he doesn't live there anymore. In West Palm Beach, Laurel effectively insults her mother and father enough to get tossed out of the family feast. In Grand Rapids on Christmas Eve, Connor tells his sister he has a boyfriend. Back in Philly, Connor's car is stolen after he makes amends with Oliver, who is admittedly still crazy about him. Frank isn't too worried about the swiped vehicle even though there's lots of forensic evidence inside. He advises Connor to report it to the police so he can collect the insurance money. Laurel believes Frank is behind the stolen car. After all, he's been hanging with Asher to possibly keep him from being suspicious. Michaela's Christmas break involved her fiancé declaring they should not get married. In the present day, Asher pushes things with Bonnie because, well, she hurt his feelings. As for the other members of the Keating Five, Laurel forces them to talk to each other. Wes admits he's having nightmares. The conversation deteriorates and ultimately screeches to a halt. That's because Hannah is in the house. She pushes Bonnie for help to find out what happened to Sam. This conversation also ends abruptly when Frank arrives. Hannah lets Annalise know that there was a possible Sam sighting in upstate New York. She follows her when she drives to Nate's place. Annalise confronts Hannah before heading inside where Nate reveals that he told his sick wife about her. As for the Sam sighting, that was something Frank set up to throw Hannah off the scent. Annalise promises him that she will take care of things with her sister-in-law. Annalise answers Hannah's question about when she started sleeping with Nate. It was in the summer. It was after Sam started sleeping with Lila. She admits to lying about some things as well as recognizing her husband's penis on a dead girl's phone. Her semi-candor has the desired effect. Hannah is starting to believe that Annalise isn't hiding anything. Of course, nothing can stay hidden forever. Sam's remains have been found in a landfill. Those nightmares Wes has been having are now occurring with his puppy eyes wide open. And those puppy eyes, kind of annoying this season, not gonna lie. Anyway, let's start at the beginning with the episode review. Now, Michaela, so ready to talk about herself and her perfect life during the holiday. She's always annoying when she gets into these moods talking about how everything's perfect because, you know, appearances are everything and she just wants everybody to think everything's so wonderful. Yeah, I don't care, Michaela. Now, Annalise didn't even tell her favorite student about her sister-in-law. And, of course, when Connor tells Wes, he's like, what? I didn't know. And, of course, everybody thinks, you know, she would tell him. But, of course, we find out that Annalise didn't tell him on purpose, that he didn't need to know anything that he didn't need to know and that he had enough on his plate. Now, let's get to the walk-in Jackie. She looks all sorts of trashy. She looks disturbed, and I definitely do not trust her at this point. Now, she admits that there are two girls captive in their basement that are her husband's keeping them there. And, of course, everybody's kind of cautious with this one. This lady is just allowing this guy to have two young women trapped in his basement. And they don't understand this whole thing. And, unfortunately, this episode has a couple things I am, aware of. Fortunately, I've never had to deal with being somebody who was put in a basement by some guy for their sexual pleasure. Nor have I had to house women of this sort. But, when it comes to the fact that, I guess, we find out that Jackie had been taken by this man when she was 16... and, of course, abused and all that sort of thing and taken advantage of sexually. All right, let's get more into the battered women syndrome so that we have more of an understanding of what the thought process is. Battered women syndrome, or BWS, is a mental disorder that develops in victims of domestic violence as a result of serious long-term abuse. BWS is dangerous primarily because it leads to learned helplessness or psychological paralysis, where the victim becomes so depressed, defeated, and passive that she believes she is incapable of leaving the abusive situation. Though it may seem like an irrational fear, it feels absolutely real to the victim, feeling fearful and weak and sometimes even still holding on to the hope that her abuser will stop hurting her. The victim remains with her abuser, continuing the cycle of domestic violence and strengthening her existing BWS. Battered women syndrome is recognized by many states as a legitimate mental disorder, and there are support systems available to women who suffer from a situation of domestic violence and BWS. It's worth noting also that the laws of many states account for violent outbursts by BWS victims. If you or someone you know is afraid of coming forward to authorities because of an injury to the abuser, there may be ways to avoid punishment. Read ahead to learn more. How does BWS develop? Battered woman syndrome begins as an abusive cycle with three stages. First, the abuser engages in behaviors that create relationship tension. Second, the tension explodes when the abuser commits some form of abuse, physical, psychological, emotional, sexual, or otherwise. Third, the abuser tries to fix his wrongdoing and apologizes. This third stage is frequently referred to as the honeymoon stage and involves the abuser making amends for his bad behavior. During the honeymoon stage, the abuser is forgiven and the cycle starts all over again. As the cycle continues, the victim starts to feel that the abuse is her own fault. When the victim takes responsibility for her own abuse, this develops into learned helplessness. The victim feels helpless because she has convinced herself that the abuse is her own fault. Yet she cannot understand why the abuse continues if it's her own fault. She becomes convinced of her helplessness and that the abuse cannot be escaped. Thus, battered woman syndrome develops. Recognizing BWS. Women suffering from BWS share certain observable characteristics. Speaking with a battered woman should reveal these characteristics and help to identify her as a sufferer of BWS. The common characteristics of BWS women are as follows. She takes full responsibility over the abuse and finds it difficult or impossible to blame the abuser himself. She fears for her safety. She irrationally believes that the abuser is all-powerful and will hurt her if she contacts the authorities and seeks help. BWS women will frequently show signs of depression, too. They may be less enthusiastic about the activities they used to enjoy. They may also start to abuse drugs and alcohol. Once the signs of BWS are recognized, it's important to get help. Getting help for BWS. As with any domestic violence situation, women with battered woman syndrome should contact local law enforcement and authorities and report their abuser. The police will make an arrest and the prosecution will hopefully advance. At this point, many battered women may try to recant their statements. They may feel sorry for their abuser or may fear violence if the police let him go. A large number of battered women recant, but it's important to keep in mind that recanting may subject the battered woman to criminal charges for lying to authorities. It's also worth noting that recanting does not usually affect the case. If the abuser has been arrested and his case moved forward, recanting will do little to prevent this. Battered women may also worry about testifying in court against their abuser. In domestic violence cases, the victim is required to testify in court against her abuser. battered women syndrome more often afraid, women are often afraid of their abusers. There are support options, however. In fact, there are people known as victims' aides who will stand in court and provide support for the victim as she testifies. Aside from these legal options, there are also organizations that provide psychological and emotional support to battered women. This may be necessary, as the separation process can be extremely difficult and confusing for a battered woman. BWS and the law. Battered woman syndrome is now recognized in legislation by many states and is considered when defending battered wives who kill or injure their abusive spouses. For the courts, BWS is an indication of the defendant's state of mind or may be considered a mitigating circumstance. For example, the court may consider that a BWS woman felt that she was justified in attacking her abuser and that she was in reasonable fear of imminent danger due to her condition and her experiences with the abuser. If you or someone you know is a victim of domestic violence and a possible sufferer of BWS, please contact your local authorities and local support organizations. There are many venues available for those women to receive help. And that's very important because I was actually raised in a household where my mom was a battered woman, and she was definitely caught in that syndrome. So it's a very real thing, and maybe not all of us understand why somebody would allow this to happen and just get stuck in this cycle. It's possible, it's unpleasant, but if you recognize the signs, definitely try to get some help if that is you or if it's somebody you know. All right, now back to the recap. Now, the Christmas card for Rudy. Maybe Rebecca actually was banging this guy. I don't know. Are Rebecca's nails long enough to cause those scratches? I mean, she wondered if her nails were long enough and would work, that would fit Lila, her neck injury, those, like, puncture wounds going on, if her nails fit that, so I don't know. And I'm wondering how, I mean, those scratches were pretty deep, so maybe they weren't. I have no idea, but those scratches have been just kind of looming, and Wes has been staring at them this entire episode, so I'm wondering what's going on with that. Now, with Wes having his nightmares, you know, I can't say I understand what it's like to murder someone, but the nightmare story is kind of lame to me. I mean, you know, I know he has to have something. Everybody else, you know, has their issues with this. They're trying to cope with it the way they can, but the whole nightmare thing, kind of a lame storyline to me. Now, Annalise saying, what have you never done anything bad you need a lawyer for? Ouch. Funny that she said this to the students when they were protesting this whole thing with Jackie. I thought the line was funny. It's a good one to use against them for now. Well, obviously in a personal setting, and just to snap them to attention, I guess. I don't really trust Jackie. Yeah, I know she was 16 when she was abused, but I feel like she's holding something back at this point. I mean, why is she coming forth now? I know it's hard to get to this stage when you're a battered woman, but I just feel like this, I don't trust her. Maybe she's just been put in this light so we don't trust her, but there's just something strange. And I understand the pregnancy of one of the girls might be one of the catalysts for her coming forward, but this man has already brought three girls to his house. I mean, her and the two other girls. Maybe these girls, maybe basically this man is breeding up his next brew of young women to sleep with, which is disgusting. Laurel seems awful truthful and forthcoming after this whole murder. I really like to when she got together with her family, and they're just talking, it's all, like, surfacey stuff, and they briefly go into, like, Laurel, and then they just move right on to the other sister, and Laurel just lets them have it, and saying she works for this woman who had a mother, or a mother, jeez, had a husband who slept with a student, and then murdered her, and then she talked about how she had two boyfriends, and I mean, I guess the mother did ask her at some point if she had a boyfriend, so I guess she got the answer. I mean, she's successful, as you can tell. Successful law student, successfully is able to get men. But I just thought it was pretty funny. And I have to mention this part. Laurel speaking Spanish was pretty damn hot to me. I mean, I thought she was an attractive human being, but she suddenly got hotter because she's less mousy. She's self-assured, which is strange. I guess that's another reaction to murdering somebody. Like I said, I have no idea what that's like, but I guess we're getting all sorts of reactions on the spectrum with all the students. And the whole Frank and Asher being buddy-buddy, it's weird and it's awkward, and I don't understand why at this point why this is going on. It's just weird. But hey, I'm glad Asher has somebody, has a friend. And Asher's acting like a big old baby when it comes to Bonnie. I know he's hurt and all, but he's just acting like he's in, like he's in elementary school and it was a crush of some sort that broke his heart, so he has to, you know, poke fun at her and stuff and, you know, on the playground and be rude in front of people and get back at her. It's just really amateurish. Sam's sister is annoying and is obviously a stalker. I mean, if you were suspicious of your sister-in-law and she was stalking and being nosy, I mean, this whole thing would be natural, that kind of thing, but this woman annoys me. Maybe it's because I'm attached to Annalise, who is not a good person. Can I point that one out? I love this show, and we know Annalise and the students are doing some dirty dealings and trying to hide some things, but Annalise is not a good person, but of course we're on her side. I mean, we're spending all this time with these students and with Annalise and with this crime. We just feel bad for them, but Annalise is not a good person, but I really, really can't stand Hannah. Seeing Annalise's ring, she was wearing a ring when she was touching Nate's chest when they're on the bed talking about his wife and all that. It was just disconcerting. And I know he said his wife wants him to be happy, but at the same time, it was just weird. And I like that Nate picks up on it, that even, you know, Annalise says that he was lucky to find his wife, but at the same time he doesn't think his wife is right in thinking that he should be happy with Annalise, but obviously it doesn't stop him from sleeping with her. Now, it's adorable that Connor says he has a boyfriend to his sister, but I don't think at this point he's together with Oliver yet. I think I think he's just thinking that it can happen, and now that he's realized, hey, he likes Oliver a lot and wants to be with him, that, you know, he can just assume that Oliver's his boyfriend. I mean, I definitely want Oliver to be his boyfriend. I want this whole thing to be over and that they would be a couple finally, because it's just adorable. And I thought Connor was going to admit to Oliver that he never really was doing drugs in order to get Oliver to see past everything so that they can go ahead and start a relationship. I really thought he might have admitted it. I don't know if I'm on the side of if that would have been a good thing or not, but I thought he was close to admitting it, and I'm like, oh, then how are you going to explain yourself? But he didn't blow his cover. And Connor's car was stolen, and I didn't see that plot twist coming, but it was a nice thing to get you going, getting anxious, like, oh my god, last thing they need to do is, you know, somehow this car is stolen, somebody goes on a joyride with it, and it's discovered, and for some odd reason, of course they would get traced back to Connor, and I don't know how that would actually play out, but, you know, it's kind of a scary thing, and I had almost forgotten about Carter's car and all of that, even though it was mentioned in the last episode. So, let's get back to the case of the week here with Jackie. We find out in court that the girls were drugged. I mean, I knew I couldn't trust Jackie. I know what it's like to be a rape victim and all, but Jackie needs to find a better way to help these girls. Maybe she should have drugged him instead, but of course she probably was scared that he would attack her, but I just wish she would have been at the point where she would have possibly drugged him and either tried to incapacitate him or report him or do something. Now, Laurel goes to Frank and just says to him that it was, you know, he must have stolen Connor's car, and he's keeping Asher close so that he can keep tabs on Asher and just make sure he is ignorant and unaware of this murder. And I like how Laurel just tells him to say, basically he needs to treat her with respect like an adult and not say, you know, let the grown-ups speak and all of that. She is a grown woman, and she is so far handling this whole murder thing better than everybody else. And here we go, back to Jackie's storyline. Our little girl was stillborn. Our little girl, as Wes points out. Jackie's more concerned with the baby. I'm thinking at this point that she straight up stole that baby, and that woman is freaking cray-cray. Now, it's still, this whole storyline just creeps me out that this guy seems to be just raising his next generation of sex objects, and it's just despicable. This whole case is slimy, and it's interesting they decided to throw in the plot point that this woman possibly is just crazy and just wants this baby. Now, I really wanted the guilty Keating four to take Laurel's advice about talking to each other so they can keep their cover without looking strained, and as if they hated each other, but Connor wasn't having any of it. He just brushed it off, said, okay, yeah, you know, we talked, but of course, then Hannah arrives with her creepy stalkerish ass. Michaela, when we go to her story and how her Christmas and her holiday went, she's a serious wreck, and she must have been all sorts of smashed to think Aiden was banging the guy he was talking to. I know he reached out to touch him, but I wasn't convinced. But hey, she's got to be wound up tight right now, trying to hold this secret, and she's just anything is going to set her off. And I wouldn't want to marry this version of Michaela either, Aiden, and maybe I wouldn't want to marry any version of Michaela, Aiden. Now, Hannah trying to bring Bonnie in on her plot to expose Annalise and figure out why Annalise is not so concerned about Sam's disappearance makes me think that they are planning to kill Bonnie off this season. I mean, I know Frank comes in and stops it in time, but I feel like Bonnie is being set up to be killed off. I don't know. What do you think? howtogetawaywithlaw@gmail.com. Or you can send 140 characters and let me know what you think. You can do that at getawaywithlaw. Anyway, back to the review. Neither Jackie or the father deserve to have those children. Thank God they won't. I love that the kid is now going to be with one of the children, the original mother, and just, I know Jackie didn't start out messed up this way, that the abuse and all of this has made her this way, but that doesn't matter when it comes to the safety of these children and the safety of the baby. They have to be put in a better environment, and unfortunately for Jackie, she's kind of far gone. I hope as she's in jail that they give her some psychological help so she can come to grips with what happened to her and maybe continue on to have a normal life when she finally gets out of jail, or what's going on. But I just think she needs some help, and obviously her husband, he just needs to, no. That guy can stay in jail for the rest of his life for all I care. Now, Oliver is in love with Connor, and they are both adorable, and I hope, but of course it's not good TV if this romance doesn't eventually get ripped apart. Just let it stay as a romance for at least a season, guys. Please. Now, one of the most stunning parts, and there's an even more stunning part at the end of the episode, obviously, but is that Frank said he was going to take care of it if Annalise needed help with Hannah, which gave me the hint that he was straight up going to kill Hannah for Annalise if she just said the word. And you know what? I feel like a terrible person because I was like, psh, just tell him yes, kill the woman. But obviously, it would look really suspicious if Sam's sister came up missing as well or turned up dead. And more heat would be on Annalise, but at the same time, just thinking, she annoys me, and I don't want Annalise and the students getting ratted out. Let's go ahead and kill her. Can't she just trip over something, break her neck or something? That'd just be terrible, but, you know, this show makes me a horrible person. Now, what's up with the dinner idea? I thought that was a little weird. I know Annalise is trying to make Hannah feel welcome, and they were going to sit and talk, but I just thought it was weird. I was like, it's probably not Annalise's style to order pizza or something like that, but I just thought, you know, I was kind of feeling like Hannah. Imagine that. I was kind of thinking like Hannah, that this was a little strange that they were just being all body blah, just having dinner, you know, sister-in-law, and they were just going to eat green beans, Brussels sprouts, and it was going to be great. But Annalise decided to be honest with Hannah, as honest as Annalisa would ever be, more so about the affair and her covering it up. And Hannah looks she looks like she believes Annalise, and that's good. But even though this sounds like, okay, we might be able to detour Hannah for a little bit, then we find out that they found Sam's body parts, and they should have straight torched the hell out of that body about as high of a temperature as they possibly could have. I know it was not easy, and they were in the woods, and they had to do this quickly, but I knew this. Well, we all knew this was going to turn up, of course, and it should not have been such a shock, but the way it came, and at the end of the episode, but you know, it's like we have a few episodes left, and we should have known that everything was going to have to be ramped up, but it's still like a kick to the gut. Alright, guys, well, we are heading into the next episode later this week, and I'm at the point where I can hardly wait for these shows, because I just want to see what goes on and how this is going to go and where they take this. But we're getting closer to season. I think we have about 3 episodes left, including this next one Thursday. I can't recall, but I'm just excited, hopefully as you are, and why don't you tell me how excited you are? Send in some feedback, whether you do, you can send in an email, and you can do this whether you type it up or you send some sort of audio file, just start up a WAV file or something like that on your phone or whatever, and you can send that to howtogetawaywithlaw@gmail.com. You can also send in the 140 characters at getawaywithlaw. You can also visit the How to Get Away with Law Facebook fan page just by searching it out and liking the page and commenting there. Let me know, guys. Let's get some interaction. Let me know what you guys think, your theories, your thoughts, what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show, what you don't like about the podcast, what you do like about the podcast. And please get the word out and let's discuss this awesome show. And until next time, this is your host, Kim.